are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We have a knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butt.
And now for something completely different.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast, a podcast for all things nerd and Star Wars Rogue One. My name is Chris, I'm here along with...
John.
Sam.
And Sean.
In tonight's episode, as I mentioned, we are doing a full spoilers episode.
Full frontal assault.
Of Rogue One. It came out on Thursday. We're
whipping
of
the
last
spoilers
week.
Out.
Yep, there will be spoilers in this, so if you do not want to... This is the majority of this episode will be about Star Wars Rogue One. If you do not want to be ruined and you have your, you know, childhood and weekend ruined, please don't listen.
If you haven't seen it yet, go fuck yourself.
Sam's a little bit more blunt than I am, but we're also going to mention a little bit about passengers in the Assassin's Creed movie because they came out today and not so good. But we'll be doing that. And then finally, we'll end off with rapid fire with Sam.
That was delayed.
Sorry.
So Rogue One came out with a bang. It was probably the most looked forward to movie of the second half of the year.
Anticipated, yeah.
Yeah, no. Anticipated movie second half of the year.
If not the whole year.
Because Captain America was
Civil
a big
War
one.
Was really big.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I feel like Star Wars is on top of the chain, but that's just me.
All right. Well, anyway.
There's a big question with Big John for another time.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, Rogue One came out opening weekend. It grossed $155 million, which is very, very strong.
That's just domestic.
That's just domestic. Yeah.
But let's get it clear.
Time. Yeah. Domestic.
For you keeping track at home.
Well, for those who pay attention to numbers.
But they said that's fourth all time, right?
I think that's recall.
What it was, because I remember this movie started off with backlash saying that it was about Donald Trump, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody said, don't go to Star Wars. And it became the fourth highest grossing film. And the guy who was in charge of dump Star Wars was like, mission accomplished. It didn't reach number one.
But number four is pretty
exactly.
Good.
Yeah,
like,
how
and
stupid.
When this guy's a fucking idiot.
Oh, but,
anyway, so far gross $173 million, and it is what, Wednesday night?
Yeah.
So
not even on weekend.
We're not even weekend two.
And it's
like $300 million worldwide.
And
like,
I have a feeling it's gonna be more of a linear than a not a bell curve, you know, like go up in the beginning, opening weekend, then
like
drop like BVS, you know?
Yeah, BVS style.
Yeah, because I think I'm going to go see this one again.
I would love to see this one again.
That's a spoil my opinion of the movie.
Yep. So let's start off with, you know, first takes, hot takes right now.
Yeah, let's start off with this. Was anyone here okay with no scroll?
Yeah, it was fine.
Yes.
I was...
Really? It like, I just couldn't get
into this.
Did you
know that going in?
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Like, when that didn't happen, I just wasn't in Star Wars mode yet.
Yeah, they had the Lucasfilm.
I didn't want to be. It's not part of the, you know.
Yeah,
the six.
Yeah, you get the giant scroll when they take the velvet rope. That's for VIP movies. Okay, that's for things with episode at the beginning.
Okay,
the other thing that
I don't
want to
get hung up on that though.
That was Sam's little beef. My beef. Was everybody okay with generic Star Wars music for the Rogue One reveal?
Hell
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
what reveal?
Like when it said Rogue One on the screen, it was like da 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 da. I was like, this isn't Star Wars.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty clearly not like a John Williams score, which I mean, people kind of like criticize him for like making songs that don't exactly like blend into the movie, sort of stand on their own, which. The trade-off of that is, you have fucking awesome songs that are notable and just instantly recognizable. The downside is, I mean, they don't blend into the movie. I thought the soundtrack was fine.
First criticism, though, I did not like the soundtrack. It didn't fit.
Really?
I liked it.
I didn't like that generic Star Wars music.
That's what I mean.
That was the only like downside. Other than that, I think the soundtrack worked really well.
I don't think it did so. I don't know. That's you know, you're not paying attention to that.
John, do you have a criticism?
To be fair, though, one last thing on the soundtrack. I don't know if I mean, John Williams did episode 7, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything like compelling from that one either.
No, yeah.
So, no, there wasn't.
Yeah. No. I have a criticism? Yeah, dude, I got a criticism here. Okay. It's called the first 50 minutes of the movie.
Really?
Very, very, like, out of balance and just didn't feel right from, like, pacing. Like, you can tell. Yeah. Like, I know it's really clear now, like, what happened in production with this movie. So if you're not familiar, we sort of talked about it before. Gareth Edwards, who has done movies like Godzilla and other things, essentially wanted to make this, like, a war movie. Emphasis on the war. And that's very much what you see in the finale, in essentially like what's the third act with the battle on, was it Scarif?
Yeah.
And so you get that, and that was awesome. Yeah. Like I don't think I've heard anybody who's like, oh no, it's unrealistic.
We'll get to the battle later.
We'll get to the battle later.
Let's try and form some form of linear.
We're going to ask backwards here. Usually we start off with the good and then go right to the bad.
Let's start with the bad.
Okay.
Sam said his bad.
So here's my bad.
I got multiple bad things, but
you just picked the scroll. You picked literally the earliest thing you could find.
Yeah. I thought we were starting at the beginning.
Okay, let me get back to the story of the pacing though. Dude, it was like really all over the place. Were going planet to planet to planet to planet to planet.
Yeah.
Like, all right, think about, and I mean, it works with these movies, but like, very first one, New Hope, right? You're on Tatooine, you're on the Death Star, you're on Yavin 4, and then you're in space again, right? That's like three or four different locations.
Yeah.
Empire is Hoth, that weird asteroid thing.
The Death Star again.
Dagobah. Well, you're not really on
Dagobah, Bespin.
And then Bespin. So that's like four. This one, all right, let's count. It
was eight total.
Yeah.
I counted.
You go.
Yeah.
Eight total. Yeah. Well, that was a lot.
About five or six in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, they jumped around a lot the first few minutes.
I'd be okay if it was like everybody has their origin story, they're coming together sort of things. These are like major plot points. Like, there's a lot of stuff here that, like, I didn't understand. It seemed very shoehorned in, is I think the best way to put it.
Like, specifically, and I know what you're referring to, the scene at the city asteroid where he just kills somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 2 minutes long? And I get it was kind of important to the plot.
It was important the character development of Diego
Luna.
But
it felt, like you said, it felt rushed and just kind of stuck in there.
To me, what was weird about that scene is that he had this moment where he killed a guy, and there was some more like depth and complexity of the character that was really never they came back to. And that, so alone, that's kind of weird. To me, it's like an interesting choice to make, but you got to follow up on it.
Yeah.
What was weird to me was the thing where they went to, I don't even know what fucking planet it was, where they go to meet her father, and gets killed. Like, that seems like a weird, like, it was that, and then when they go to like Vader's whatever, fire planet.
Really?
Mordor?
No,
I know. Really, it's Mustafar.
It's Mustafar from episode 3.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's still there. That's his castle.
That castle
looked like Saruman's.
Oh my god! Yeah. Even the guy behind us was like, "Oh, like
no." It looked like Mustafar.
Did it? It never actually said.
It never did. But it is Mustafar. It is.
Yeah, and it was interesting too how you had actual like subtitles that had to tell you what planet it was, which is never a thing.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, not in that case, but early on in the movie, you got that, which you don't really ever see anywhere else.
Yeah. Ever. Yeah. In any
and
Star
And, like,
Wars.
That's kind of interesting, too. So,
I guess how they only did it for half, though?
Yeah.
They didn't do it for all the planets.
Which that's kind of weird to me, too. Like, that's, I don't know. I guess my point here is that they clearly redid a lot of the opening of the movie, and like, I'm not entirely sure why. I can't imagine it didn't work that well that like they had to go in and like rejigger everything. Like, I'm sure you guys have like seen this where people have gone through. Like, if you go watch that original trailer, the teaser of I Rebel, like
they never said
almost all those lines aren't there. Like, there's different scenes. Like, Forrest Whitaker looks completely different.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
There's
the scene where she's on top of the building and the TIE fighter flies up.
Yeah.
What the hell was that? And if you watch the trailers too, she's on the beach with the Death Star plans running towards the AT-ATs.
Yeah.
She's in those scenes. You can see her carrying the Death Star plans in her arms.
I want to see her get away from that TIE fighter on the tower. Yeah, because that tower was, you couldn't get off. There was the one elevator. Yeah. How the hell did she get
And the thing
out
is, when she was up there, the whole time I was waiting for the TIE fighter. Like, maybe somebody stole a TIE fighter to save her or something like that.
Or that was her end. That was her end.
Yeah.
Or that's her end.
And another thing to John's point, they kept bringing up stuff but never following through with it. Like, they brought up the fact that Forrest Whitaker's character is, like, a radical.
Right.
Who will do whatever. And
it was kind of a cool angle because it's, like, that, like, third, like, independent, yeah. like, it's not good or bad. It's
See, I think this is, all right, so I think this is a positive for us.
Yes.
Right, if correct me if I'm wrong, but the Forrest Whitaker and his kind of, quote-unquote, extreme rebellion views at the Jedi Temple in Jedha, however you want to pronounce it.
Jedha.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That whole thing was awesome.
No, the Forrest Whitaker stuff was like the worst part
of
it.
No, his voice was bad, but...
Yeah, here's the thing with Forrest Whitaker's character.
But that monster that, like, told people that was lying or whatnot.
Yeah, they brought up, it'll make you insane. They never bring up the fact that the pilot's insane.
Yeah, he just, like, forgets things. He's like,
I don't know.
He said you might lose your mind.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, like... I think it's a cool idea, and if they had like explored it the right way, it probably would have been interesting. It just seemed like it was just superfluous. Like, there's just one extra thing in this.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing with Forrest Whitaker's character. It is the first ever tie-in with a TV show.
Oh.
His character is in the Clone Wars.
They didn't have the TV shows.
What do you mean?
For 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
I know that. Well, you did for 7, though. And they even stated before they did 7 that the TV shows are going to have nothing to do with the movies. Forrest Whitaker's character is in the Clone Wars, the Cartoon Network show.
I think if that's the reason why he's in it, that's a fucking awful
reason. Here's the funny... I never actually watched the show. I'm starting now. And like I'm because there's like 8 seasons to get through. And I'm like, I need a half hour show that I can just like...
It's not even it's like 22 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, that I can just easily breeze through because I have so many hour-long ones where I have to sit down for 45 minutes. And
That's
a great show.
The half-hour ones are so easy to go through because, like you said, you go through 3 in an hour. Oh, it's great.
It's great.
All right. But Jedha, back to Jedha.
Yeah. I like that.
It was awesome. I think it was phenomenal.
The fights the fact in that the streets.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was
the
awesome.
The fight was
yeah.
sick. And I didn't... Did you not... Oh, damn it, I don't want to go on a negative anymore, but...
Well, we have to stay awesome. Negative. Stay negative.
No, I don't want
to
stay negative because this is a good part. The introduction of the, I forgot his name, but the stick wielding guy,
the
blind guy, and then his friend who are Jedi Temple protectors, but not actual Jedi.
Yeah.
I think that was an awesome way to go.
Because
you know, it's the last temple. They're some of the last two defenders of the temple, and they know the Force and they kind of believe in it.
Yeah.
Squall One does.
Well, here's something we can get from that to a criticism.
No, damn it. Stay on the positive.
Is those characters, like, they don't establish why they just, like, are like, okay, we'll come along.
Well, because their temple's destroyed.
Yeah,
their temple's destroyed.
See,
I didn't
think that was much of a problem. Another criticism I heard that I thought was awful is, like, oh, you watch the movie, you don't even know anybody's name. I'm like, do you know how many movies that are like that?
Yeah. I didn't
like,
really have a problem with that.
There's very few movies like you ever remember like more than one or two of the characters' names.
Yeah.
I thought that was an awful criticism.
Fine. And
I've seen it like 100 times.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's kind of, I think Christina put it this way. She goes, and this is to the naming thing, they glorified the rebellion, not created a hero. Or focused on a hero. They glorify that it's not just one person like Luke Skywalker and, you know, Han Solo.
Yeah.
It was everybody had a piece.
It's
sort
a
of
committee.
I don't want to say this, but at the end scene, when they had the plans.
Everybody's
sacrificing themselves to get the plans off the ship and away from the barricade.
Everybody had their own little part.
They glorified the rebellion and not
a hero.
It wasn't a
hero.
Was
awesome,
and then, to the name point, hey, spoiler alert again, if you haven't turned it off already, since they all die in the end, they all die on the end. You didn't need to know their names.
You didn't need to.
They're because none of them are in the original trilogy, so what's the point?
And there
of
was no there's no thread kind of connecting them. So you say, all right, well, that's the pilot. Okay, that's Jin. you know, she was she was the main character.
Yeah, obviously. You know a couple people.
You know a couple people, but that's all you needed. Yeah. You didn't need it. It's a guy with this blind guy with his stick. Okay.
Yeah. Diego Luna, robot.
The whole time I was like, Diego Luna.
The most connective character
I thought was great.
Was K2.
Yeah.
K2SO.
Yeah.
And I think personally, and agree,
you were like upset when the robot died.
Yeah, and that was an awesome scene too. When
and
he
like
dies.
You saw like literally the life going out of his eyes.
All right, yeah. All right, let's go back a little bit to Jeddah. So the Death Star is mildly operational.
Yeah,
and they shot it off, and then they blew up
the operation of Battle.
Well, they were doing it. It's not fully because they don't say fully until A New Hope.
It's just like mildly.
It's moderately operational.
Okay,
like it sounds like you need some kind of prescription pills to like.
So they,
we are at level Shiraka.
They find out where Jyn Erso is, and the message from the pilot because he escapes obviously, and then they fly up, and you see the Death Star coming up in the sun, and then they destroy the Jedi Temple.
Oh yeah, that was just like a cool looking scene where like it's the eclipse and stuff. Yeah,
and then they destroy that, and then.
It's almost like
they kill
cooler.
Saul Guerrero, whatever his name is. But it was awesome. Did anybody like this fact? I love this fact. The Jedi Knight's crystal that powers the lightsabers is the destruction tool of planets.
Yes.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Anybody else? No, I love that. I love that fact.
Yeah.
That they are mining this crystal just to power the deadliest weapon. Because it just came full circle. I mean, it was awesome. I'm sitting there, like, smiling in the seat.
Okay, well...
Because
we're running out of criticisms, but I just want
to... Oh, no, I have one. I have another one.
I have one more that I just need.
Some of these are
criticisms,
some of these are kind of critiques, so I don't... Yeah.
Yeah.
CG Peter Cushing.
Ooh.
Not awful.
Okay.
Not awful.
I really didn't have a problem with them. And, like, it was weird to me that, like, they brought out the big guns for the, like, spinoff movie. Like, that's a thing you do in, like, episode 7 or whatever. Like, you know, like, isn't that, like, a bigger thing?
Yeah, that was, okay.
It looked
weird, and I guess people are torn on it. Some people are like, yeah, it's fine. Other people are like, that was the worst thing I've ever seen. It hurts my eyes.
You know what? What screwed me up? It's not Peter Cushing's voice. And I could tell.
I've seen many shitty Peter Cushing movies.
I've seen enough like Hammer films over the years to be like, I know Peter Cushing's voice.
Until they showed him, I completely forgot that he died.
Really?
Until they saw him and I'm like, this isn't that bad. I can live with this. And it was so much better than Robert Downey Jr. in Civil War.
Yeah,
it was young Downey
Jr. It was
so much better, and it's just, I mean, come on, it really looked pretty damn good for other.
It was good, but it's still it was in the uncanny valley.
I think people are putting too much criticism on it. I think for what we have for technology today, it worked, and you kind of needed him because.
Sorry,
Sam's got a message.
How did this first happen in this one?
I don't know.
We've been doing this for months. Listen, if I have to live in the uncanny valley to see Peter Cushing reanimated, then I'm fucking packing my bags and going there now.
Yeah, dude, it really wasn't that bad. I thought it was
It nice was just one of those things where whenever it was his scene, it just like threw me out of the scene.
Now, let me ask you guys this. So, Chris and Sean, you're kind of like, you were fine with it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
If it was just Leia, would you have been pissed? Because I think I would have been.
Yeah, I think so.
What do you mean if it was just Leia?
If they recast Grand Moff Tarkin... as somebody else, and then kind of made him look like, but then at the end, Leia is the CGI Leia.
Okay,
would you be pissed
if they
recast Grand Moff Tarkin? So like,
sort of what they did with Leia.
No, they CG'd her.
Yeah, they CG'd her.
Yeah.
If they just CG'd her,
Tarkin wasn't even in it. If the first time you saw that effect was on Princess Leia at the end, I think I'd be like, it'd be a little weird.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm. All right. Anyway,
but it really wasn't that bad. I really liked it, dude.
I was like, that's cool. They did that.
So
it was nice.
All right, let's go on to the next.
I have one last criticism. This is just not just for Rogue One.
Is this on Jeddah, by the way?
No, this is...
Because we're going to try and go down a line.
Yeah,
here.
No, this is not just for Rogue One, but this is also for the new trilogy as well.
We're talking Rogue One, though.
I know. No, this is a criticism for new Star Wars.
Shoot your load, man.
All right.
Why the
fuck? I don't know.
You see, you're sitting right across
from me. I don't know if it bugs anybody else.
It's on the screen.
The aliens and the creatures, it seems like every new movie, it's brand new creatures that don't quite fit in the Star Wars universe with like the original trilogy and then even the prequels. There's like, you never see like a Bith, or you never see, you know, sand people are really like not around anymore. Obviously they're on Tatooine only, right. But like you don't see, cause this, I mean, there's intergalactic traveling. So you should see like different creatures on different like planets, but you don't. And even the creatures that they do come up with look a little odd. Case in point, that creature that helps like tell if you're lying or not.
Oh, that was fucking, that was just weird. Such a weird departure for the series. And then there's even nothing else like that.
Well, even in episode 7, the things that are on the ship with Han and Chewie that they let loose that eat people. Like, what are the point of these things?
Well, that could be like a rancor.
Yeah, but I'd rather it be a rancor. Kind of tie in, but that's just like my little bit of criticism. Like,
what? I think that's you.
I think that's just you.
Maybe
it's a big galaxy.
Is it weirder than the stuff that comes out of like episode 2 though? And like episode, was anything weird in episode 1? Gungans.
Well, yeah, they're Gungans, but
I don't know. My legit last criticism, and like I think I'm not alone with this.
This is on Jeddah.
Talking about intergalactic travel.
Yeah. Yep.
Running into your boy, fucking
the doctor and what's his face?
I can't even think of his line. The Walrus guy, right? No, the
well, kind of. Yeah, he was like, the,
yeah,
yeah,
like, yeah. And
the guys they meet the in pop, the cantina. Yeah. Thank God they got off the planet.
Yeah,
that would have. I mean, they were on their way.
They were on their way to that ship. That was done well though. Like when I saw him, it wasn't too much, and I was like, hey, it's those guys, and like I didn't be like, hey, it's those guys. They don't the doctor get like, he doesn't look right, like the guy with the weird nose.
Yeah,
I didn't think like, oh, that was a horrible recast. Like, it was just like so quick. I was like, oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's good to see them again.
I don't know.
It was good to see them. All right, now let's see the chicken walker come fight everybody.
Yeah. Oh my god,
that was awesome. Yeah. All right, so let's go to the next.
They go back to Yavin after that?
They go back to the planet where Jyn Erso's dad is.
They go back to Yavin.
They go to Yavin 4 first.
My other favorite cameo, and he had a nice musical cue when he got it, for someone who's literally in here for 3 seconds, is Jimmy Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is Bail Organa.
I am completely okay with the fact that so far the only thing we've taken from the prequels is Jimmy Smits.
Yeah.
No.
And I am okay
with
that.
You know what I loved about like Jimmy Smits' character too is when like I said it to Ian because I was sitting next to him when he was like, I'm gonna head back to Alderaan. I was like, don't go. And then he heads out the door, he's like, let's go, Wedge. I was like, haha, Wedge Antilles.
Okay, so then they go back, and then they have the meeting and everything, and then they go to, I forget what the planet was called. It did have a name.
Yeah, they all have a name.
No, planet. It was actually showed.
Yeah, I know.
I think it was like K-L-Y-P-H. People know, but
if you've seen the movie, you might know what we're talking about.
They go back, and they find her dad, and,
what's the actor's name who plays her dad?
Oh, the guy from James Bond.
No, Mads Mikkelsen.
It's good to see him playing a good character.
I know, right?
Well, is he good, though?
Yeah. He's ultimately a good guy.
I wanted to see... I liked that whole like flashback scene of like oh, I don't know.
It was a nice twist.
There was definitely like a character there where like he just kind of showed up and then had this like 3-second thing where he died. Like, I don't know.
But it was good. It was a good... like twist and plot point with this thing where it's saying, I thought you were dead with Jyn Erso. The Empire killed his wife and thought they killed his daughter, Jyn. And he goes for the rebellion to build the Death Star in order to create a weakness.
It's not even like for the rebellion. It's like his little revenge.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the reason why this weakness exists, and we've all been complaining about, like, why does this weakness exist in this giant
He took it away from us, though.
They finally just explain. It's like, yeah, this engineer guy wanted his last revenge.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is funny how this movie is essentially explaining away bad writing in the first movie, but like in order to do that, you have to go down this further rabbit hole of like a future where there's advanced space travel, yet it takes forever to transfer files, and like everything has to be done like with physical media. But okay, whatever.
No, but that was good, and then we got a great. I thought that was a great battle scene. It was quick, but the X-Wings come in and they destroy the base.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
And then the TIE fighters are there, and they're having a
good space battle. N64 Rogue Squadron flashback.
Yeah, exactly.
Entire scene, I'm just like, I would.
And it was great, right? And it was great,
yeah,
because it was a nice little throwback to that. But that was awesome. And then they at that place, they kind of develop, a bond amongst the crew members. And then they go to, they steal the ship.
Yep.
And then they go back to.
First they have that like Yevon? Big meeting where they're like. That's debating what they should do. They go back to Yevon and steal
the ship, go back to Yevon, and then they have all the council there.
Yeah.
And then they're saying, don't fight, and it's kind of like the beginning of the rebellion right there. And that was cool how you can kind of see how they're all,
it's not one monolithic person like being like, okay, we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do this.
Not only that, it wasn't like, you can tell, this is not a rebellion.
It was unorganized.
It was like they're actually arguing over, do we go to war with the Empire? Mm-hmm. Like, there's still, like, there's these radical groups that are at war, but this core group is still, do we go to war?
Yeah.
Right.
And then that was awesome because you got to see, Admiral Fishface is, assume, distant cousin.
I love that guy. Admiral Akbar's cousin.
And whatever
I don't know. I don't even know his name. He says it a few times. The dude with the jowl down to the floor.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, I loved him.
But then you
I'm so happy there was a lot of
it was cool because you could see not many people are willing to fight. Except for a few. You know, even Mon Mothma.
Yeah, Mon Mothma.
She wasn't willing to fight at all.
And fucking Jin and Diego Luna have to go off all General Turgeson and
she
like,
didn't say
start
the
line.
War
for them.
She didn't say the line. This is a rebellion, right? So rebel.
Yeah, that would have been a great line.
That would have been a great line.
At that
they
moment,
didn't use it. So aside from that, now let's leave to the third act climax here, okay? So they take the ship and they're going to Scarif. To steal the plans and then bring the plans back to
they get in,
get them off the planet, so that way the rebellion knows how to beat it. The best part of the whole movie.
God, yeah,
oh yeah.
I mean, there were some great parts, but from start to finish, from the second they take off,
from once they get down to the base pad on Scarif, I was like, oh my God, I need to play some Battlefront right now. Like, oh my God, I'll play the EA one. Like, I don't care. I need to shoot people right now.
I really wanted to...
Space battles!
Just be there. I wanted to be in one of those... My God. I would love to be in one of those, like, 4D movie theaters watching that final battle.
Oh my God.
With the wind and the
you know, water it's, and everything. Oh yeah, they do have that now.
They do,
What was I going to say? That, like, last 40 minutes is probably, like, up there... It's probably like the best like sequence of like any of the Star Wars movies.
Oh, absolutely.
Hands down. I know we're going to go through and like rank them all again cuz that's just what you have to do after you see a Star Wars movie. But that was just it was amazing.
Oh gosh.
It was so good.
And it was everything that like we kind of haven't seen yet, and it's to me, and I don't want to go back and like compare everything, but like God damn it, J.J. Abrams, like you could have just done something like this, and it would be new, and it'd be fresh. I mean, we've seen this whole, like, kind of setup before, but it wasn't any kind of carbon copy or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was, you had the full space battle, you had
the land battle,
you had the water, you had a mixture of AT-ATs and ground troops and ships.
You had people
and
sneaking around a base. Like,
God. It was so good.
It's funny, like, in a way... In a way, like, he didn't, like, redo just New Hope like they did in Episode 7. He just redid all of them at once. Like, sneaking around a ship, land battle, space battle, AT-ATs.
It was just
Death Star.
So, so good. I mean, the rebellion was actually winning for a time.
Yeah, and
it was ridiculous.
It's awesome because if you read the scroll at the beginning of Star Wars, A New Hope, it's perfect because the Rebellion just scored their first victory. And that's what you saw in Scarif, their first victory.
Yeah, even though it was a bittersweet victory, it was still the victory.
But they still won and did something.
And it's like, that's believable that's how the Rebellion would fight.
Exactly.
Very, very quick little like strikes, and then as soon as the Empire actually shows up, they get the fuck out of it.
I thought the space battle, I mean, it was just phenomenal. You saw blue group, red group, yellow.
Oh, yeah,
we all saw red five die.
Red five. Red five dies.
It's like, I'm red five. Ah! I'm like, oh, who's going to take his place?
Slots open.
Oh, man.
Slots open. But the best... I want to say this before we finish. So the best part is when the Admiral goes, I have an idea. I need a hammerhead ship.
That was awesome. That was
so great.
And then you saw it, and then it took out two of
the Star Destroyers.
Star Destroyers. And then I'm like, why the fuck didn't Akbar use this in the second movie?
He sort of does.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
Well,
he doesn't use it because the rest of the Empire and Darth Vader's ship show up. Nobody gets out alive, so nobody knows how to do that. He had the idea, but it died with him.
Yeah.
They're all about using Star Destroyers as like unconventional like weapons. In the third one where the Super Star Destroyer just goes into the Death Star.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact it's just using the hammerhead to get rid of it.
It was
cool because you never saw that in the thing, and now you put it together. This was never used because it never made it out of this battle.
When did you guys realize they were all going to die? I think I realized it as soon as like they had the whole gate thing.
Yeah,
I feel
once they when the gate like shut, I was there. Like. They're dead.
I feel like I knew this the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Before I I knew this.
There was a hint.
It was never
and even
happen.
Gareth Edwards, he talked about it. He said the early draft was they all survived. But then when he sat down with everybody, everybody was kind of in the same mind. But like, but why do they need to survive?
They shouldn't. Yeah.
Shouldn't they all die? And they're and even Gareth was like, I was going to go that way, but we seemed a little dark. And then even the head of Lucasfilm now, Kathy, whatever her name is.
Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah. She was like, they should probably all die at the end. Okay.
Why don't these characters show up ever again?
Yeah, they're not in the original trilogy, so might as well just kill them all.
And it was in the end, it was just, 10 minutes of just glorious death scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
It was like sad but happy.
Yeah, it was sad, but you know, you felt kind of solace
like the
in
whole
it.
Sequence with the blind guy's death, because it's like granted that the whole movie they're like the Force is not in this, and like that's that one moment where it's like fuck you, I am.
I'm one with the Force.
It
the Force
brings
is
so that the blind guy he brings the fact that the Force is a religion, not a midichlorian.
Yeah, yeah.
Like well, no, because it was a religion at the beginning of episode 4.
Well, yeah, in episode 4 it was a religion.
People thought
and then
it was a religion.
The new trilogy was like, no, it's going to be in your blood and stuff like that. But then with him where he was, you know, kept saying, you know, I'm with the Force is with me. And the Force works in mysterious ways. He literally walks out there with the stick and doesn't get touched.
Surprised Stormtroopers don't hit shit?
Yeah, but from the beginning of this movie, from the beginning of this movie, they prove that Stormtroopers can actually kill something.
Spells that vicious stereotype.
I like how this not the staff, but something transformed into like a crossbow.
Oh, yeah, the giant like missile crossbow thing.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Actually, you know what was an awesome scene? So I absolutely love the blind guy's friend. Like, he was my favorite character.
The guy with the heavy machine gun.
Yeah, the heavy gun. When he takes out the rocket launcher and just hits the AT-AT.
And
it's just like, boom.
Just
goes back. He's like, yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, that was great.
And then a blue leader comes in and,
and blows him up. Destroys it. Oh, that was great. Highlight of that battle for me is what I've been hinting to all year on this podcast, that they made some Vader stunt suits. And watching Vader walk through, like, when they board, and he's just like, no, you're on the ceiling. Slice, nope, you're over there, no, you're...
Oh, that's at the end. That's more towards the end.
Yeah,
okay,
dude,
so
that's part of that battle, though. No,
that's at the end.
All right, let's not debate about the order. We're going to stock stuff. But, oh, shit, I lost it. I'm sorry.
Well, I got something.
Okay.
Where, like, just because I think the technology wasn't there, it's good to see the aliens fighting.
Yes.
Because like they make in the other movies, they make it. They make it so you know
just human
that the Empire is anti-alien. That's all always been established, but you never see the aliens fighting them.
Yeah.
And then that little one in the ship with the machine gun.
Yeah, oh, that was awesome.
Oh, man, yeah.
You're right. That was a good plug
like
right
you
there.
See the aliens start fighting in this. Yeah. So it's like, okay.
I loved like just the rebellion, like how it just kept scaling up and scaling up.
Yeah.
Like that was just awesome.
The dropship just dropping troops in the water and them just charging blindly into the abyss.
Yeah. You know? Oh, it was
a great battle. All right. So then they get the, then we have, I didn't want to do Darth Vader yet because we have one more big thing. So when they're stealing the plans, the physical plans, K2SO, the robot that we connect with, who is an Imperial droid, is reprogrammed, is probably the character we connected with most because of the levity.
We're all reprogrammed robots. Yep. Here, so.
And then, Imperial droids.
So he's protecting...
Sam, you didn't watch Westworld.
So he's protecting Jin and Cassian, getting the plans, and he has to stay there and defend the door so they can get the plane safely or whatever it was. Yeah. And then... Yeah. His final battle, his final fight scene was great. He doesn't do anything. All he does is just stand there and fire a pistol.
Yeah, he kills a ton of them.
He kills
like,
a ton of them.
He's like right when he gets shot that first time, I was like, oh, he's gonna die.
Yep.
Like boy, and
great death scene.
Oh yeah, like he fought till the end. Like that was great.
And I think my wife kind of teared a little bit at that. Well, I mean, you connected with it.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of a good movie if you connect with at least one character.
Especially the one who's the least, you know, human.
Yeah. And then they steal the plans, and then they go up to the tower and they submit the plans.
You know what would have been really cool, by the way, is like when they stole the plans, if you know how they were going through like the names of all of them?
Yeah.
If like the one after the Stardust or whatever was called like Gemini or something like that, because then that's the plan for like the second Death Star.
No, but then they go up to the thing and then they meet. She sends the plans and then they meet whatever his face is, and then he ends up getting shot with the blaster.
Yeah. What'd you think of my boy Ben Mendelsohn in this? I thought his character was kind of. I thought you did a good job. I just don't think they knew like what the character was supposed to be.
Sorry, that was me.
I kind of seemed like he was. I don't know. I feel like he definitely got like fucked up by like rewrites or something like that. Because I don't understand. Why did he go visit Darth Vader anyway?
Because he was going to suck up to Vader.
Yeah.
Because Grand Moff Tarkin was like, "This is my battle station now." He went to Mustafar and was like, "But Vader, I did all this good stuff." And that's why he was like, "Don't choke on your aspirations."
Yeah. I really thought that whole scene was, I mean, that was really shoehorned in.
It was pointless.
Like no reason.
It was pointless, but I thought it was awesome seeing him in the Bacta tank.
In another movie, I'd like agree with you that like that was a little cool thing. In a movie where there's like pacing problems and stuff, it's just like one extra thing that like didn't need, especially like when it holds you up to like the fucking cool, awesome battle at the end.
Yeah.
Which are we ready to go to the end part or?
No, I want to point out this. Remember in Jedha how Jyn Erso finally fights? Like she knocks down a trooper, gets the gun and whatever.
Like throws the grenade.
She never fights after that.
Well, she's not supposed to though.
Yeah, no, but think about it. It was a good fighter, and everybody was impressed. Like, you can do that, and then all of a sudden, she never fights again.
But that's she was supposed to be stealth, and that's why. But,
yeah, they didn't
I thought it was kind of a thing that they should have pushed a little bit more.
I'm fine with them not, because that wasn't her job on Scarif, and if they did show her doing that on Scarif, I think it would, like you said early on, it glorified the rebellion by showing her being this ultimate fighter. It kind of turns her into a hero.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. All right, but yes, now we can go to the end.
All right, how awesome was it when the Death Star showed up and you saw it like in from the planet and it just showing up over the horizon?
Yeah. Awesome. That scene. That's going to be a great screensaver.
And it kind of like it's funny because like they had that on all the promos. Like all the poster or like on, you know, some of the drafts of the posters they had and the ads. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's funny they did that. That's like a interesting effect. But when it still came up, I was still like surprised. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. It was great. Awesome. It was great. Like, I don't want to say scene, but it was a great, Yeah, I guess scene. Yeah, logistically, for lack of a better term.
And then, you know, they blow up the planet, and you had that nice moment.
Not even the planet. They just blew up that.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, one
reactor. Same thing.
Yep, yeah, and then, one reactor.
And then we see the end of Jin and Cassian. And then,
anyone else super happy they didn't kiss?
Yes. I like that there was something there, but they didn't go to it.
It's like you didn't shoehorn in a romance. Yeah.
Christina said the exact same thing.
I feel like end of movies, ending near sunset on a beach.
Yes.
If Thomas Ford doesn't come out and start narrating, I'm going to be pissed. And I was like, where's Thomas Ford? Where's Anthony Hopkins' character coming from? And Sam wouldn't get that.
No, I didn't even get that. No one ever called him Thomas.
Sorry.
And then once we see the demise of those two, we get to see darkness and then breathing. And then what do we get, Sean?
Oh, that scene with Vader. Like, that was Vader.
Well, so the rebellion is on its last legs.
They uploaded the plans and they're running through the hallways like frantically, and you're like,
horror because Darth Vader's ships and the rest of the fleet show up. Now they're trying to get away.
Oh, and that was like a new thing where like they show up and like the stuff trying to jump to hyperspace gets like crashes into his thing.
They're like, let's
and
go.
Like, literally boom. Blocks them. I was like, Tarkin makes a comment like, oh, Vader will handle the fleet. I'm like, fuck's he gonna do?
Like
they'll just fucking go to hyperspace. Game over, dude.
He shows up. And then they board the ship, and he was just like, they're all like standing there and they're trying to run. They get to the door that's jammed, and you hear, I'm like, oh my god. And he just walks up like nonchalantly, like, you're on the ceiling, sliced in half, you're over there now. Off with your head, and just like, and then calmly walking down the hallway.
So matter of fact,
this is where we start to see the passing of the plans
to
the next person.
And that was great because you felt like it took like every little last bit just to like get it through the door and get it out.
Yeah.
Like that was just so well done to me. Yeah, like that's really the reason why I think I was so jacked about this movie is it like just kept on like building and building and building, and at the end it was just awesome.
I think that was probably the best scene in the whole movie.
It plays to what you were saying that this is glorifying the whole rebellion. It's showing each person is in a line sacrificing
themselves. Joe Schmo with no name has a purpose.
One person's, carrying the baton to the next.
To the next. They're just not giving up no matter how many of them are getting killed.
And there was some question about this. However, the answer was made. The exact end of this movie is take away the scroll of episode 4. It's right there.
Yeah.
I love that. They did it perfect.
Like, you just know, like, Taunted 4 takes off.
Yep.
And then goes to hyperspace, and Vader's
just in pursuit.
Yep. And that was awesome.
Phenomenal. And I knew I mentioned this in the kind of preview. I didn't want a lot of Vader. I think there was that one scene with the doctor when he choked him out a little bit. That was kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, that wasn't it.
But everything else was perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was just the right amount.
Hang on. I got to ask this.
Of Vader.
Did Vader always have red eyes?
Huh?
No.
I think there was a reflection of the of the lightsaber in the dark.
No, because it was in the Mustafar scene as well. That's when I first noticed it. He had red eyes.
I got to go back.
I didn't catch
that. Go see it again.
I don't know. I saw it.
I want to go see this.
I saw it. It was just kind of threw me off. I'm like, did he always have red eyes?
I don't know. When I wore the suit was 2 weekends ago, it didn't. Yeah. It just had bubble vision. Like, holy shit.
Was anybody else, just kind of getting, I guess, a little more general here, was anybody surprised how much of a prequel this was, considering this was essentially like a spinoff? Like, I like to call it separate but prequel.
No, I kind of liked it.
I liked how it tied directly into A New Hope.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoyed that, and I was 100% down with the way. I mean, it ended a little funky, but it was fine. Like, the whole, like, when Vader talks to Leia, and she was like, oh, I'm on a diplomatic mission. It's like, bullshit, you just came from Scarab.
We
know.
Yeah.
So it's like,
But listen, report here says a white Corellian freighter with your numbers here. All right. This thing's stolen.
So what do we... All right, so let's... So we did everything. We pointed out what we liked. We kind of pointed out some things we didn't like. Overall, great movie, bad movie.
Well, I let's put it this way. Which one did you like more, this or Seven?
This Both? I'll go first. This one.
Okay. Chris says this one.
Why?
Because it wasn't a rehash of the same story from episode four.
1,000 times, Chris. Like, okay, and this is even indoctrination here of the prequels. It's not that fucking hard, guys. Like, this movie really didn't have much of a fucking plot. Like, the reason why this is so great is it had a fucking really cool battle scene.
It's Star Wars. It was Star Wars.
Exactly.
Wars in the stars.
This is the, to me, this is, like, the best one since Return of the Jedi. Easily, hands down, without even, like, question to me. And I never really liked Seven. I mean, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, but, like, I never really liked Seven a whole lot. I thought it was, like, pretty good, but I really had to dock it because it was a rehash. This is good. And, like, I was really surprised. Like I said, they brought out, like, the big guns, the, like, big, like, parlor tricks of, like, you know, reanimating Peter Cushing. Like, this seemed more like this was the, I don't know, showcase movie, however you want to call it.
It should have been the Seven, as big as the Seven.
See, yeah. I'm on a different... I thought Seven was better.
You thought Seven was better?
This just... There were so many moments that just took me out of this movie.
Okay.
I couldn't just settle in on this movie. Like, it seemed like every 10 minutes, I'd run into something else that just made me take a step back. And go, whoa.
Like what?
I think you came in trying to criticize it.
No, I didn't.
As the Star Wars movie.
Well, as hang a on. Star Wars Sam, movie. Sam, what took you? What was like one of the things? And
other than Peter Cushing, because you already
said that.
Well, yeah. Peter Cushing was one of them. That there was no Skrull.
That's okay.
I realized, but like even without the like Star Wars at the beginning with the theme and everything, even without that, it just I couldn't get into that mindset. There was like
couldn't get it up.
Yeah, couldn't get my Star Wars boner.
You were sitting next to my wife.
Couldn't activate the lightsaber there.
But like there was the red-eyed Vader. We were just jumping all around the place. I just couldn't get settled in with this movie.
It was a little frustrating, the trying to fit in the small stories.
Yeah,
I can agree with you on that, but we were jumping around. Lose me the pacing at all, was. Though.
It wasn't that it lost me. It just never had me. At any point in that like first 40 minutes, did it grab me?
No, Sam. I don't like entirely disagree with you. I wasn't like super out, but I was like, oh, okay, what's. So this is going to be like an okay movie. This to me is going to be like essentially like on par with like most of the Marvel movies where it's like okay but nothing really great. To me the end is like great. And like I'm of the mindset where like if you hit those high notes, like that more than covers like the low notes that you hit. Like if you try to do something great and accomplish that, but like part of the movie's a little shitty because of it, then like okay.
But here's the criticism. Seven did that to me. Seven grabbed me and kept me in.
It might have been because we haven't had Star Wars in 12 years.
Might have been, but...
Yeah. I think that was a big contributing factor. Because the second you heard that scroll for the Star Wars movie, Episode 7, you were in.
Boing. Exactly! Were in. That's my point with this one.
Yeah, but...
Without that scroll, without that the song, it just didn't grab me.
It really isn't a Star Wars story, though.
But this is more... This is a closer homage to Star Wars... than Seven, even though Seven like is essentially copying Star Wars note for note.
Weren't you just complaining about that?
it's a better version of an homage to it. Like it actually felt like Star Wars. Seven felt like someone was trying to make Star Wars. This felt like Star Wars.
That's actually a fair criticism. Where do you fall?
I am 100% behind you guys. I enjoyed this one a lot more than Seven. And so it's not even that it was a rehash of episode four. Seven was a rehash of episode four. My criticisms with Seven is just the characters. I don't care enough yet. I mean, the worst is the bad guy. I don't like Kylo Ren right now.
He's awful.
He's an awful bad guy. And I understand it's probably going to be fleshed out in the next movie or two. But I don't like it. I don't like him. It didn't pull me in. He was built up like the way the publicity, not publicity, but like how they were marketing this movie, episode 7, it was like, this is the big bad guy. He's the new Vader. Like, look out for this guy. And he's just a whiny bitch.
Okay.
And
we've,
like,
we've talked about that.
We've talked about that. But, like, even, like, the other characters, like, I'm not attached to any of them.
Yeah, but what wasn't, like, the bad scientist guy in this? He's kind of a whiny bitch, too.
But I like him better because he wasn't built up to be like, this is the Emperor's right-hand man. This is the most powerful guy in the galaxy. Like, he wasn't built up to be that. He's just like...
I don't know. I know, and we've talked about this before, but, like, I'm not going to blame marketing for, like, how I, like, think of a movie.
No, but like, but I'm just saying, like, I look at Seven, and I'm not, like... It's Star Wars, so I'm invested, but I'm not like, oh my god, like, the next one is going to be the best movie ever. It's going to be great. I mean, I'm just like, oh, I can't wait to see where they go with it, but I'm not, like, invested in it like I would be, even, like, the prequels where you're like, oh, you know, when's Anakin going to become Darth Vader? You know, even, like, Luke, yeah, he's a little whiny bitch in A New Hope, but, like... You're attached to him because it's like he's the new hope for the rebellion. Like, he's the big deal. And even, like, Han Solo is just awesome. Like, even though he's, you know, a smuggler and he's, like, has no ties to anybody, right, he sticks around.
I don't want to go.
I don't want to rehash Seven.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to. Rogue One.
Rogue One, so you're with me. I'm 100% with you guys.
So, okay. All right. Yeah. So, so the three of us right now, we'll say prequels at the bottom. In any order, doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Okay,
probably 3's at the top, but whatever.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is, I know where you're going.
Then
with
it's it. Seven. Well, let's just do it. Then it's let's seven, see. Right? Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Seven.
I can't. The only one you could debate. Well, for me, some people really hate Return of the Jedi.
The only debate it would be was a New Hope or Seven. Which
but
one
I can't.
Comes on
I can't
top.
Say. Yeah. I can't say New Hope though, because that's the original.
Yeah.
Even though I think there's actual problems with New Hope, and like, if you start somebody with Seven, like if you showed a little kid Seven who magically never heard or seen Star Wars, if you showed them Seven, they'd probably like watch it. New Hope, they might fall asleep.
Oh yeah,
that's a slow ass movie.
Yeah,
it is. But then, so this is where you're going with it.
Where's 5 and 6?
Shit. Episode
so
five.
What's, all right. So what's after
six,
Seven?
Episode 5, 6, or Rogue One.
Ooh.
No,
see, I mean,
here's my issue with Sam. You didn't get involved in the movie at all. Return of the Jedi was the exact same way for me. Up until halfway through, I was not invested in that movie. Wow. And then in the end, it was so good at the second half that it just made it one of my favorites. So right now, I would say either... the next up above Seven in the New Hope would be 5, and then it's either 6 or Rogue One.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's more aggressive than me. I think it's okay. I think it's still Rogue One is below.
Yeah,
New
Rogue
Hope.
One's got to be below
New Hope.
New Hope? Would you say that?
No. You mean Empire Strikes Back?
No, I would say. I mean,
we did this wrong. We should have just individually ranked them.
All right, let's just do this right now. Empire, Jedi, New Hope, not much of a separation, Rogue One.
Yeah, I'm behind John on that.
Decent sized jump, 7. Canyon,
and then 1, 2, 3.
3.
Yeah.
Decent sized jump, 2 and 1 in any order.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pretty much have the same list as yours, but like I'd probably put 7 in front of Rogue One.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only difference.
I do.
Either way, I look at it as Rogue One is around where Seven is for
like
most
people. It's not like I did not like Rogue One.
Yeah.
I liked Rogue One.
We're not saying this is the best Star Wars ever. John, you said it perfectly. It's the best I feel like it's the best since Return of the Jedi.
Right. Which, to be fair, is saying it's better than Seven. It's right. Not really.
Right.
I'm waiting for when they just consider the prequels expanded universe and
no.
Just, you know.
When are they going to redo them?
When George
never.
Lucas dies.
No. They would never.
I think they would.
I think they would redo
no
the
way.
Original three.
If they...
Like, I think they might redo the prequels. Or, like, they'll do something... Like, I don't know, maybe it's this Obi-Wan movie Ewan McGregor's trying to get going.
Oh, I have a pitch for you.
Oh boy!
I was gonna. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to do it. Maybe I'll do it next week. But I was actually gonna write a scroll. And then read it off to you, and then read the pitch to you, because I have this awesome idea
for Obi-Wan.
In a way, yes.
Okay.
Awesome. Really, I have this
do
awesome
we all
want
to write our own scrolls for a Star Wars movie? We want
to
see.
You don't have to.
What do you mean? Are we saying like you want to do like?
No. I'm just gonna come. I thought
Star
of this.
Wars,
I thought of this.
Point.
Afterwards,
whatever.
I was
Boba
riding
Fett
the train.
Best.
I was riding the train to work after like the day, not the day after the movie, but the Monday. Yep. And I just was reflecting on this movie, and then I just said, Jedha, a Jedi temple.
Mm.
Holy shit, came up with a great idea for a movie.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And I just thought of the essentially the main story arc for this. I just thought of the whole thing. And I think it's, I would definitely see this. Or else I wouldn't be writing it. But I definitely would see this movie.
Well,
I'll
I mean, Chris,
of, I'll
you
kind
could,
of brush it by you.
You could pitch a movie and get it made. Apparently the backstory behind this, the guy who came up with this plot worked at ILM.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it started off as just a pitch, and then it grew into like a 30-minute presentation.
Yeah,
and then
it
like,
got in front
go
of
tell the head
Kathleen
of ILM.
Kennedy
and
whoever,
she
yeah.
listened to the pitch and was like, yeah, let's do it.
All right.
So,
well, yeah. I don't have a... Well, they're trying to find ways to get Ewan McGregor back. I will write something down and then I'll explain it to you.
All right. Well, how about,
I don't want to say it on the waves yet, but
I'm with you. I'll do this something with you because I have an idea for like a Star Wars one-off that I think
would fit well with this.
Huh?
Would fit well with this?
Well, I don't know how well it would fit with yours, but like it's like a Star Wars one-off.
Okay.
That I think
let's do an anthology pitch coming to you soon.
Yeah, we'll figure this out. I want to get some.
Can I just say one quick thing about Jedha? Oh, that shot was awesome with the like fallen Jedi.
Oh yeah,
like,
that was a cool.
Oh movie. Yeah,
like, with, you don't get yeah. that. Like I'm not trying to.
It was kind of straight out of like Lord of the Rings, but still, yeah. Right.
Yeah,
you, it you did know what? Feel straight you know what was a good equivalent was Episode 7 when you saw the. Destroy star destroyers and stuff just in the
yes.
sand.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the only equivalent. But I feel like that was cool in Episode 7 till they were like, "Oh yeah, the Empire's still around."
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, it's like the Jedi are done.
Yes.
Like they're done.
Well, that was solid yeah. too. Of like low orbit
over.
Star destroyer, and then
oh, yeah.
like it like everything just leaves, and you're like, "Oh well, something good is bound to happen."
All right. No, I'll write something up, and I think you guys would have some good input to it. So
right.
I think I have a rough idea, and I have an idea of where I would like to go with it, and you could kind of expand on it, mm-hmm. if you will. But I'll write something down, maybe give it to you guys first, and then we'll try and pitch it
Ditto.
Next week.
So I guess final thoughts for me: this is a very good movie. I don't think by any means it's a great movie. It's definitely has its flaws, but to me, like the highs that it achieved. Like more than make up for the flaws. Like to me, this movie, and I hate to just throw out like something like Suicide Squad or something like that, because oh my god, that's a fucking mess. But just like how I felt with Suicide Squad, of like, well, they could have tried something and failed. Like this actually like accomplished something, and I was happy for that. And it's like it felt like Star Wars, but it was still kind of its own take, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, I'll agree. Same thing. I'll agree with everything you just said. Very, 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 very good movie. Great. But something I would easily purchase.
This is the Star Wars film you were looking for.
Exactly. It fit my expectations.
Yeah.
Yep, it hit it. Nailed it.
Yeah.
And they did a really nice job of fitting within the parameters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They didn't try like messing it with anything.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling with this movie was it did exactly what I expected it to do. Like, it was exactly what I expected it to be. But the criticism I could throw is that it didn't do anything more.
I have one last thing to say.
Other than the space battle.
One last thing to say, and I mentioned it before we saw Episode 7. So this is before we were doing this podcast.
Ooh. There was no B-Wings.
No, sorry. There were no B-Wings.
Or why?
B-Wings are in...
A-Wings.
A-Wings. Yeah, those two weren't even in A New Hope. But anyways.
Yeah, those... Yeah,
those were Jedi. That's my thing is before 7 came out, I said, how awesome would it be if they brought back Obi-Wan Kenobi as the ghost, but had it voiced by Ewan McGregor. Sort of like a Tupac on stage hologram style. Guess what they opened the floodgates to be able to do now with Peter Cushing and
Alec Guinness?
Put doing an Alec Guinness, here, but have Ewan McGregor voice it.
Here's the thing. Like Peter Cushing's estate? Oh yeah, they were all over this because it's Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
What legacy does he have? I think with... I just said his name and I forgot.
Alec Guinness. Yeah. Sir Alec Guinness.
Sir Alec Guinness. I think you're going to have a little bit more of a trouble.
Yeah, but I can see that.
Because he had a love-hate relationship with Star Wars.
You know what I'm kind of surprised they weren't able to do with Cushing? Is like do the thing where like how South Park did with Chef, where they just like pulled like all like clips and like strung it all together.
Or you can just wait until next week.
Okay.
Instead of the
hologram. Whoa, what a tease.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right. Hologram.
All right.
Or I could just pitch it to you and then write it after this and then write the scroll later. But I'm excited for that. I really am.
No, let's
move on. All right. So that does it for Rogue One. Real quick. Assassin's Creed came out today. Reviews. Awful.
Yeah. It deserved the name Ass Creed.
Whether or not it actually beats Prince of Persia rating, we'll wait and see. But it's getting awful reviews.
The rating is based on what site?
Has anyone actually read
IMDb,
the reviews?
I think it was IMDb.
Has anyone actually read any of the reviews?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that's where.
What's the criticism?
Okay. The criticism is that this movie doesn't know what it is. It literally jumps between the 1400s and now. Like back and forth. And the action jumps between them like crazy, where it doesn't get a footing in either world kind of thing. And just doesn't know.
Yeah, I can
see that. So which makes me think, this is just, you know, because I haven't seen it and I probably won't based on these reviews coming out. Maybe I will if I can watch it like I did with Sausage Party.
Catch it on HBO or something.
What I think happened is in the writing stage and everything, and even Fassbender, like, being a part of this, I think everything was looking good till it reached post, and it was just, like, horribly mangled and turned into something that wasn't what it was supposed to be. Like, this movie needs a director's cut kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, it might have been the problem is that, like, the way the game worked, I remember the first game, was they introduced this whole, like, Templar and Assassins in the modern time. But as soon as you entered, what was it, the Animus, I think it was called, the machine? As soon as you entered that, they never went back.
Mm.
Or they might have like went back occasionally.
No, you come back. Yeah, no, you come back a couple times. Nothing really happens in that world.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like everything is happening back.
In other games, stuff actually does happen in the outside world while you're, you know,
and
trapped in there.
That, I think, is what they tried following for this movie, which probably, for the first movie, I'd rather them be like, this is our machine, you can go back.
Oh my
and
God.
Then you just, yeah. Well, I mean, because Resident Evil...
Come God on, they're doing something. Others.
Well, not maybe not
maybe
anymore.
Not, but, maybe like, not. That was the plan.
Yeah.
But
there's like a, I don't know, I'm still... God, maybe I'll see it. There's still like a lot of good people in there. And like, to be fair, the review I read was like from Variety, which I was never really going to think is, oh God, Assassin's Creed is so great.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are like, why are all these people in this horrible movie?
Yeah.
Well, I think we kind of fell off the boat with going to see it now.
Oh
that
God,
the reviews
yeah.
are out. John,
I'm definitely,
maybe see it.
I mean, there's
if
other
I have
stuff
time,
on my list.
If I, have
I don't,
time,
I don't know if I ever
like,
got on the boat. I was like waiting and then
this was another moment where I was like, maybe it'll break the curse. Never mind.
Speaking of getting off the boat, the next movie that came out this week and is also getting not so good reviews is Passengers. And it seems like it fell into the trap that I was predicting or worried about when we did our preview, I want to say at least a dozen episodes ago. Chris Pratt and J-Law can't carry the movie on their own. From what the review that I read was, it just, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, the one I saw
was a sinking ship.
Another movie didn't know what it was, if it was like a thriller movie or a rom-com. Or,
yeah, because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's going to be kind of like a... You know, a drama, kind of sci-fi drama thing, which I'm fine with. Sci-fi drama.
Yeah,
that
like,
sounds
they,
cool.
Like they're trying to figure out how to like live the rest of their lives.
But then like the most recent trailer I saw was like super overdone music, explosions everywhere. I was like, this wasn't the movie I thought this was going to be.
And then there were other ones that really played up the romance. Yeah. And then, like,
yeah, I remember seeing the first trailer being like, oh, okay, maybe I'll check this out. And then, like, everything I've seen since has really kind of dragged me away.
Yeah.
Reviews confirming it. Did not do it, and did not give it any kind of credit.
There can be drama, like that kind of action drama that occurs in a sci-fi drama. Like, oh no, no gravity. Or, oh no, we're running out of air. We got to figure something out. Our rations, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? There's going to be that kind of turmoil going on. But I just feel like from the trailers, it's like, there's no gravity. That thing's blowing up over there. Now more stuff is happening. Oh no. Like, that's not the movie I wanted to go see.
Mm. Isn't Forrest Whitaker in this too?
I don't think so.
No, you might be thinking Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Apocalypse Now, not Platoon.
But, yeah, so that's not doing so well. And I don't think we're going to see this one either. No. So.
And
yeah,
it's just sad because we were excited about both of them. Yep. Both of these films, we were actually excited to go see.
That was one I did get on the boat for, Passengers.
Yeah.
So maybe we will, maybe we won't, but don't count on it, at least until On Demand or Blu-ray.
Oh. One quick thing here. Did you guys know if you went to go see Rogue One in IMAX, you got a 5-minute preview of Dunkirk?
No.
Huh.
They just never... I don't know if they just purposely didn't talk about that. Or
you have to follow them on Twitter, maybe?
That's a thing.
Anyone else kind of... That seems like a weird movie to tie in.
Yeah.
Like Dunkirk, I don't really imagine.
Let's get you depressed for more depression.
Yeah. Well, like I said when we talked about Dunkirk last week, it's like... Like, other than the whole Christopher Nolan being attached, do people really care that much? Like
well, I'll go see it.
Well, I know you'll go see it.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah, you three are war, like, war people.
This story can be well done. It's just, it feels like it's being advertised the wrong way.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I feel like it's being advertised in a way where people are like, why do I want to see this?
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Because, like, I mean, when it comes to wars and stuff, like, I'm not, I know enough to get me by, but like I said last week, like, Dunkirk, I don't know what the fuck that is. Oh, okay.
It's going to be an odd movie for a summer blockbuster.
Yeah, that's just odd.
I just feel like they're putting all their eggs in this basket that, like, really?
Are you calling
like,
your first flop?
Like, Dunkirk?
I might.
I don't know.
I don't think the reviews are going to be bad. I do not think the reviews are going to be bad. But are people going to see it? That's the key. And I just don't like to put that like it in that slot is just an odd placement. Like it's a summer movie.
It's
blockbuster.
Funny. It seems like it would be a movie that should come out like this week.
Yeah.
Not. It was just odd.
Oh. Yeah. All right. I don't know if you'll be able to pull it up in time. But we went
stalling
the trailers. But,
stall. Oh, trailers. What about speaking of trailers, Blade Runner 2049 came out. The trailer for that.
Yeah, we get to see 3 seconds of the world of Blade Runner. Harrison Ford's there. Ryan Gosling's there. I'm still in.
I'm hopping in that boat right now.
I haven't seen it yet, but
like when I overheard the audio, like the voiceover, I was like, that sounds like Harrison Ford. And then, like, it goes through everything. He walks into the building, and then all of a sudden, the gun, and Harrison Ford's holding, and he was like, I was like you once. I was like, okay, I'm on board now. Like, I don't know. Harrison Ford just, like, even in his old age, he's still like, what were the best movies I've done? Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Blade Runner. Let's go do those again. Why not?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
he doesn't need the money.
Yeah. And I'm looking at him like, why not?
Hey, he's batting .500 so far. I mean, granted, like one of them was like, you know, a double and the other one was he struck out and managed to like get more outs than possible. But
All right. That does it for that. Now we're going to do, we should have time for this. So
oh, we have time.
Let's do some rapid fire with Sam.
Okay. Kaboom.
Pew pew.
Can I just... Did anybody check out the Super Mario game?
I heard it sucked.
Yeah, it's not that great. That's my what's John
It was
playing.
Like $10, which I'm like, okay. $10 for a Nintendo game. Whatever. But then the fact that it sucked, like,
I thought we were doing rapid fire.
I know, but then you just brought that up. That's a nerd thing.
That's
Mario.
That's a Mario game, dude. Yeah. We're talking Mario and Star Wars. Like, I thought this is a nerd podcast. Anyway.
Anyways, this week we're doing wish list. It's Christmas coming up.
Ooh.
So I'm just gonna give you guys something, and I want to, like, I'm trying to pick stuff where it's like, I'm pretty sure you've thought about this before.
Okay.
And just give me your, like, dream scenario of how this plays out.
Okay.
Okay.
Not a long scenario.
Not a long scenario, no. But just give me, like, what's your, like, do's and don'ts, what's your, like, highs and lows, stuff like that. And let's start with the one everyone's always thought about. What's your dream zombie apocalypse? Like, how does that play out?
Are we referring to
movie or in real life?
In real life, what is your fantasy of how this plays out?
Okay.
What I want to happen.
Who's got a zombie plan? I do.
Yeah, like a zombie plan, or like, what kind of zombies would you want to fight? And like,
slow. Okay, I'll start.
Sean, you seem to have given this.
I'm all over the zombie plan. I have a zombie plan.
Don't go through the whole plan.
No, I won't.
I know, it's like 30 pages.
No, okay, I have several plans. It all depends on what's going on and where I'm at.
What's the weather?
Yeah, exactly.
What type of zombie?
Yeah. Okay, so ideal zombie to attack, the slow ones.
Walking Dead.
Slow. Yeah, I don't want the Dawn of the Dead ones where they're like, rah, 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 and they're running at you.
28
days later. I don't want that. Fuck that. But yeah, so first of all, something that stupid people always say, I got an arsenal in my basement of guns. I'll just fight them off with that. Yeah, you're making a shit ton of noise, huh? Where do you think zombies are going to go? Towards the noise where you have limited ammo. Don't use guns, swords, and knives.
Unless.
What?
Unless you're Bert from the Tremors movie.
Oh, well.
He has unlimited ammo.
That is true. He has literally unlimited ammo. But yeah, guns are a bad idea. Don't do guns. It's good in the initial breakout where there's a ton of noise. But when you're over the hump, like the first week of the outbreak, and like everybody's, like half the people are dead, everybody else is just hiding, don't use guns. You hear the pop, 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 pop down the street. So do all the zombies. They're going to make their way towards you. Pretty soon, you're going to have a horde of 1,000 zombies in front of your house. You're not going to be able to shoot all of them, and you're probably going to die. So guns, bad idea. They create hordes. For me, go ahead. Use those guns. It gets them away from me. Another thing, one thing I would love to do in the Warwick Reservoir, there is an island in the middle there. Would love to try colonizing that. Like,
he's going long term on this.
Well, that's a long term. Well, because you got the water, and if a zombie's coming towards you from the water, first of all, they're not going to see you very well. So they're not going to be like, hey, there's an island over there. I'm going to swim. So you can do like a small colony on there. And
by the way, zombies, great swimmers. They're like Michael Phelps.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they can't drown, Sam.
So,
maybe Michael Phelps is a zombie.
Should have been more specific with this question.
No, but
no, this is what I wanted.
Yeah, this is what he wants.
This
so
is what he wants. Okay.
We're gonna have a two-hour podcast. Just live with it.
Oh, yeah.
This is him just going off.
Yeah.
But
well, right. Okay. So those are the
anything
big,
else to add?
No, those are my big points. Like, you have to have a long term, because you're not gonna live in your house the whole time. You want to make sure, you know, the weapons you have are suitable, that you're going to be able to use over and over and over again. And they're not going to cause a lot of noise, because that's going to get the zombies to go towards you. Also, don't trust people. That's a key too. Because every zombie movie, they're like, let in the survivors. Oh, one of them's bit. Oh, now he's a zombie. Now we're all dead.
Okay. All right. Chris, John, which one of you wants to go?
My scenario is Walking Dead style zombie.
All right.
Of course.
And my ideal time would be Bike Week, Lake Winnipesaukee.
Mm.
All the Hell's Angels are there.
Ooh.
There's a shit ton of guns, knives, weapons, bats, whatever. And Winnipesaukee has a ton of islands.
Yeah.
So go up there, make friends with the Hell's Angels, have them handle the whole distribution booze area on the land in the towns, and I'll just stay out on the island. Battery-operated solar panels.
You bring up a very good point with the whole bike week. One thing you should always have, and I think we should all be in agreement with this, because no zombie movie or show ever has it. Why don't people use bicycles? you can go farther, faster, spending less energy.
We're not Holland. No.
Like, yeah. Like, think about it. You can just coast, like, and you're going faster than a zombie.
But rule number one, cardio. Yeah, but after a while, your legs are going to get tired. And if you get a flat or something like that, you're going to have to get up and run.
So?
Cardio, dude. It's if better you're going than for 50 miles.
Yeah, but if you're biking, you're cardio. Now, I don't mean like 50 motorcycle. 50 miles
on a bike? You know how much that kills your legs?
50 miles walking kills your legs, too, and takes more than double the time. Or you could just
take a electric car, which you're so fond of, and you won't make any noise.
That's if you have
it. All right, John.
Anyways, John.
This doesn't have really to do with anything, but like, wouldn't it be cool if zombies movies actually had like a good budget and like you could see like people like holding out the zombie like apocalypse in like Venice or something like that? Like that, or like a, you know, like European city where it's all tight and round together.
Kind of like,
didn't World War Z have?
Yeah, World War Z in Jerusalem.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
And they had the hotels, the projects where they have the flamethrowers shooting.
Yeah, I guess a little bit. I guess my idealized version of the post-apocalyptic future, which there's zombies, even though this isn't really a zombie movie, it's still kind of similar, would be like Danny McBride at the end of This Is the End. I think that's the best I can really achieve. I'm shooting, you know, I'm not shooting above my weight here.
So John wants a sex cult.
Is that a lot to ask? And like Sean, I think your idea of not using guns is insane. Like, oh, let's fight the only things that we can. The only way we can lose is if they bite us.
See, if you
let's fight them hand to hand.
If you make friends with the Hells Angels, you probably have silencers you can borrow.
They have a shitload of guns. Remember that like biker shootout from like 2 years ago? Like,
yeah,
they've got a bunch of guns. That's a great plan.
I don't want to bring this up. This is depressing. Never mind. Move on from that.
Move on.
Anyways, moving on. Okay, which one? All right. How about this? We all wish we were flying around space right now.
Yes.
Don't we?
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
Within reason.
What's your ideal spaceship look like?
Ooh.
Oh, man.
What's it look like?
These are all toughies, dude.
Because I mean, okay. What's
the ideal spaceship look like?
Ideal spaceship
for you?
It's like spherical, and it has one gun, and it has the worst safety regulations ever.
Mine is the same, but it has flaps over the exhaust port, so nothing can get in.
It shoots one laser. And it has a platform with no railing. Did you notice that? There's no railing in the
Nexus. There's
never a railing in the movie, in the Death Star. But I'll take that.
He's going Death
Star.
So
makes its own gravity. You want the Death Star?
Has its own world. It's its own world, man.
Somehow jumps to hyperspace and gets to destinations in like minutes, but we never really see how.
Yeah.
Actually, that's true. We have not seen that yet.
Wouldn't they just go to hyperspace to get to Yavin? Yavin 4, sorry.
See,
Yavin
4. Now I just thought for your sitcom, Chris. Remember your sitcom?
Oh, yeah.
I thought of just a new character. The stormtrooper who has to push the Death Star everywhere. Like, there's just one guy who has to go out there and push it.
Just put the jet suit on.
He's going to take out the little wooden blocks. Yeah. Or else it's going to roll downhill.
Oh, you didn't know? He lives downstairs from
there. Oh, okay.
It's a four-story
wall. That's a season three thing, Sam.
Okay. Yeah, we're getting at season three territory here. We're still trying to work out the love relationship between the rebels and the
proctologist and
Oh, they did you hear second season? They had an affair with Mon Mothma.
Anyways. Anywho. So,
I would take the Winnebago in Spaceballs.
You take the Winnebago? Yeah.
That's a good one.
A space Winnebago.
You can make some food in there, you know.
Just to watch, put a black light on up there.
Oh god.
I mean, you know, you clean it if like you're gonna have some ladies, you know? Some space ladies.
Oh man. This is odd for me because I am such a Star Wars nerd. Because when you were like, what would be your vehicle? I was like, Slave One. But no, like ideal vehicle that I'd want to travel around in, the Starship Enterprise.
Starship. You know what? That's
which
a
one?
Good one. Yeah. Which one?
I'm going with, Next Generation.
So that would be NCC 1701 D.
Yes, that one.
Ooh. John's got the numbers and stuff.
No, I would go with that one. First of all, it would be awesome to be with the crew, too, because, I mean, come on.
Yeah, the crew was pretty awesome.
Data, you got number
just having
two.
A holodeck, you know?
Yeah, that's the best part is the holodeck.
Yeah, just go on vacation whenever you want.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be my... And there's everything there. There's the living quarters. And
for some reason, every time you use it, something goes wrong.
And if anything goes wrong and, like, you're attacked or hit with whatever, the disc part comes off to save everyone.
Yeah.
You just climb onto that, and it just saves everyone. Like, it's got a giant escape pod.
Mm.
Unless the pod gets hit.
I don't know.
It worked in
Gene
the
Roddenberry
movie.
It worked in the movie, but... I mean,
it doesn't matter. It's a giant escape pod.
Okay.
Then you get a nicer one.
Yeah.
Come on.
So I'm going to Starship Enterprise, which is very odd for me, because I would have gotten something Star Wars, but I'm going Star
X-Wing.
Trek.
Living in an X-Wing.
Oh, that would be awful. Imagine the smell.
Whatever.
On day 393, smells like bad pork.
R2.
Do they wear, like, diapers in there, or... Like,
pea suits?
That's what those things on their chest is. It flushes everything.
No, it holds it in the front.
Wait, number two? Boop.
All right. Let's move on. Let's do this one. Give me your ideal person to narrate your life.
Ooh. John Goodman.
Oh, I was thinking of him, too.
John Goodman would be a unique and good one.
Because he does these like Buffalo Wild Wings commercial now.
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't he do more? Like, I know you kind of like ruin the brand a little bit when you do that shit, but it's like, oh, it's awesome.
I'm going James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones, yeah. That's a classic.
It's a classic, but I think back to the original Disney Earth.
Wouldn't it be like awesome every time like you sit down and watch a baseball game, he does the baseball,
the baseball
speech.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, they'll come.
It's like you're just flipping through the channels and it's like baseball.
Baseball. Oh yeah, that's right. It's on. Thanks, James. But he's done some narrating and it's he's enjoyable. So, I mean, James Earl.
James Earl. Right.
Pod racing, right? Oh, that's he gets Darth Vader, he gets like a little brother, like he, you know, big brothers, big sister, like, you know,
yeah,
he gets a little mentor-y, takes him to some pod racing. All right, I got my pitch.
I think Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
Ooh,
that's an odd choice.
That's why? Because it's odd.
Yeah, but there has to be a reason. Though.
He doesn't have like a soothness to his voice, which is fine. I don't know, I just kind of, all I can picture is when he's fighting aliens in that scene, he's like, come on, man! I just want that of my whole
game. My whole over, narration. Man! Game over!
Yeah, I just
he's
want
just
that.
Constantly giving up on you.
Yep, why not?
Is anybody else? Wait,
expectations low, you can always prove him wrong. There you go, that's it, it's always a plus.
Do any of you guys ever confuse him for Dennis Quaid?
No.
Okay.
White Squall. That's an okay movie, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, Bill Paxton. I'll take him.
Okay.
Because he looks a lot like
Which,
Dennis Quaid.
Bill Paxton, supposedly in the Alien 3 movie.
How's
He's
that
coming
work?
Back.
Really?
Yeah. He signed on.
Isn't he dead?
Paxton?
No, he got kidnapped or something.
Yeah, you never see him die in the movie.
Wait, the Alien Covenant movie?
Yeah.
No,
not in Covenant. Alien 3.
The one with Ripley. Yeah, I forgot they were different movies still.
Yeah. That one is... Oh, God. Who's doing that one?
Blomkamp.
Yeah.
Rob Cop.
Wait, hold on a second.
The guy who did District 9.
Alien Elysium. 3?
Yeah, because it takes place right after Aliens. So they're basically saying, you know, Alien 3
Covenant,
and 4.
What's Covenant?
Covenant is before.
Is a Prometheus sequel.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, that's what Ridley Scott's doing.
Yes. And then
with Fassbender and others.
And then Blomkamp is doing
Still got to see Chappie.
3.
I will give it a, I will give it a chance because I like Blomkamp. But anyways.
Alrighty, and just for the last one, let's stay with the theme of this whole podcast so far.
Oh boy.
Passengers.
Give me your wish for what the Han Solo movie will be.
Oh god.
What do you wish this movie to be? or not.
I wish it's like a heist movie or something. Like, I don't like low stakes. An interesting movie that's not like, well, if he does this, like something, give me a lot of huts. Give me some like organized crime, like seedy situations. Like, not a lot of, because I mean, Han Solo's kind of like, he's kind of in the gray a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Give me some morally ambiguous shit.
Okay, like a crime movie. Sort
yeah.
of
I think it has to be a crime because he's a smuggler. Noir. Like, it has, yeah. It has to be a crime movie because he's a smuggler, but this, the Han Solo movie is basically going to be how Han met Chewie. So, like, it's going to be that way.
It will
like,
be that. It
will. Wait, is that what they've said?
No, but I'm, so like, why not? He understands Chewie, so therefore they've been together a long time.
Sean, yes. Would you call it When Harry Met Han?
Oh, God.
Eh?
Oh, God.
That fell on deaf ears.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's a good pun.
Anyways. So I could see it as a crime movie, but it's basically going to turn into a buddy movie.
Romance.
Like buddy cop kind of thing, but like not...
There
cop.
Will be a bromance. You know it's going to be a bromance. Yeah.
But like they've been together for so long. He understands Wookiee. So like they've been together for a while, which if it's... I mean, I know that they're like, expanded universe doesn't exist anymore, but like the Trandoshans hate the Wookiees and enslaved the Wookiees after the Empire took over. Mm-hmm. So you would see Trandoshans in this movie, which I think would be pretty cool because more of Bosk and his kind. So just throwing that out there, that'd be kind of nice seeing Bosk and his family and stuff, you know, enslaving those Wookiees.
I want this movie to be postponed indefinitely.
You don't want this movie?
I don't want this movie.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't want it.
I don't
at all.
Care.
I feel like
about
it's
it.
Such, look, it's the obvious
look at
choice.
This.
Yeah.
We just got Rogue One, and we liked it a lot. Mm. And it was nobody except Organa for 20 seconds from any and Vader, obviously. But
Jamie
but
Smits.
Nobody. No, but seriously, nobody from
that
the
guy
movies.
In the tower was back.
Yeah,
the guy in the tower was back. Yeah,
that
the
was
most
awesome.
Boring job ever.
Yeah, see, that's who I thought you were going to say the 3 second cameo because they were like, "I looked the guy in the tower again." Like he had like two cameos. In
no,
that movie.
But do you What's do we job? Need the Han Solo movie?
Viewfinder. Same.
Do we need the Han Solo movie?
No.
No, we don't.
Actually,
do we want one?
You know what?
No.
You know would be another thing that it could be. It could be kind of like The Great Escape, but with Wookiees, and Han is just there.
No.
Well, because, I mean, how do you... Because Chewie and Han meet. Chewie owes Han a life debt. So, therefore, Han saved Chewie
I'm
somehow.
Just imagining The Great Escape where, like, the Wookiees are the British and, like, Han.
No, I wouldn't
the
say it's...
Are the Americans.
I can't say it's a life debt. It has to
no,
be
it
something...
No, it's a life debt.
No, it would be... The way they would present it, I would think, would be somebody forces them to do something together and then they just become...
No,
bro.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely going to tell you how he has the life debt.
Yeah. So, boom. It's a life debt, Chris. That's why they're together. That I mean, they're buddies, but he saved Chewie from something.
Yeah, I know that.
Chewie owes him a life debt.
There's, I don't know. I still think this movie is fucking ridiculous.
No,
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. It's very unneeded. We already know who the hell Han Solo is. We just got a movie with brand new characters, and we love the Star Wars world. You can go many different directions.
No.
It's a whole galaxy of stories.
Why,
that you can
why are we sticking with the main characters?
Why? Exactly.
Let's do a Luke movie where he's 12. No.
No. You don't. You don't do that. Not to mention what happened in Han in 7.
Let's talk about Leia and her time in the Senate. No.
George Lucas screwed around with prequels and look what happened.
Yeah.
And now if they start doing prequels with the other main characters, they might, let's face it, they could taint the main characters we love, the three main, four main characters that we, five, whatever it is, that
I mean,
we love from 4, 5, and 6.
You don't think of Darth Vader any differently?
No.
No, I know, but if you, so if they did a Princess Leia, yeah. I think they'd use too much of her in episode 7.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna, I don't think they'll do that.
No.
Dude, like, the Han Solo, like, how do you fuck the Han Solo movie up? Granted, 2 years from now, we're gonna be sitting here and it's like, how did you fuck up the Han Solo movie? But,
yeah.
No, I think postponed and definitely work on other things. Bounty Hunter movie, awesome
Bounty Hunter,
idea.
I'm like slightly disappointed that they're going for the easy like catnip,
it's
but like
so
at the same
easy.
Time, I don't see how it can be bad.
You know what would be nice, though, and I because we've all probably read or played, a Shadows of the Empire movie. There's
I don't think I've played that.
Have on I? The N64? You have definitely Maybe. Played it. Dash Rendar. He flies
I definitely don't want to see them. I'd like to see a movie that's not like directly like hooked into the like main storyline.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like something that's in that world, yeah. but not like directly.
That's where they
like,
should
as
start.
Much well, as like Rogue One was like plug and play into the yeah. fourth one.
Well, like if you go like, let's say Shadows. Let's say they're like, hey, let's do a Shadows of the Empire movie. All you really need is Vader, and that's barely.
Yeah.
And it's all about Prince Xizor. You've got like all the bad guys. IG-88 can make a cameo, like throws in random characters from the movies that these actors, it's not like IG-88 aged horribly and can't play himself anymore.
Right.
CGI.
How are they going to have to, yeah, no. CGI it.
But the same thing with Force Awakens.
Yeah.
You don't need anybody but Vader.
No, well, you don't need Force Awakens?
At the beginning, he's Vader's
bodyguard or apprentice. Something? IG-88?
Or no, what? He becomes Force Awakens. I thought he
was... Oh, the Force... Awakens. Oh, okay, yeah. You mean Force Unleashed?
Force Unleashed. Sorry, Force yes. Awakens. Yeah, yes. Force Unleashed, sorry.
Force Unleashed, I wouldn't mind seeing that because that also takes place between 3 and 4, and it gives you a more complex... Well, you would also need Palpatine, but here's the thing... But the nice thing about... Was it Ian...
You can spin that a different way.
He's alive.
It. He's alive, and... No matter how old he gets, that's less perfect. Makeup we have to do on him. He can look old and decrepit. That's the Emperor.
I know we're in rapid fire here, but there was one thing I forgot to bring up with Rogue One. Is it weird that, like, we have, what, 8 movies and the Death Star or something like it is in 5 of them?
Yeah.
Like, that they should just be called, like, the Death Star Saga or something like that? Because it's being built in the 3rd one. It's obviously in Rogue One for... And 6, and then Starkiller is essentially that.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's just, I don't know, it's funny that it's always like, oh, and then there's the Death Star.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know what they're going to do?
Like one of the characters.
In the Han Solo movie, they're going to fucking bring it up again.
But this is supposed to be like before. Yeah.
No one there's knows still, what the Death Star is.
There's still in the this Rebellion, movie. And there's still the
Rebellion
Empire.
Doesn't know about the Death Star, though. That's the thing about Rogue One.
No, but for some reason in the Han Solo movie, they'll mention it in some way. It might not be seen, but they'll mention it.
I hope there's not much of the rebellion in the Han Solo thing.
I don't want there to be any.
Like I said, either a buddy cop or like an escape movie, because you have to throw in the life debt. Yeah. Why is Han is Chewie attached to Han?
But can we all agree that we should not have this movie?
No, I agree. I think this is the easy way out, and
this is the easy way out. It really is.
Just recasting in general is just like, come on.
And if they do episode 8 the same that they did Empire Strikes Back, I'm done.
Oh god, yeah.
Cuz
the only positive I'd be happy about is if they brought back Boba Fett.
Yeah, for me that was the only
off topic. But
by the way, Ryan Johnson is the director. He tweeted this out responded to somebody being like, oh, I hope episode 8 isn't too much like episode 5. And then he's like, oh, well, I better edit out this part where like we cut off John Boyega's hand in Fog City.
Oh my God. If they did that, I'm done with Han Solo movie. Fuck that. I'm not going to see it.
You're done with Star Wars, you mean?
Unless they do other things.
Oh, well,
that are completely disconnected. Completely disconnected from the main story arc.
So,
where's the episode?
Sorry, what time?
Stay woke. Hour and a half.
Yeah, we're
so,
going late. Sam, who won?
Winner this week is John.
Oh.
John, is this 2 weeks in a row?
That's 2 weeks in a row.
In my victory speech here, I really loved when Harry met Han. Like, just imagining the deli scene. Be like, Wookiees don't fake orgasms. Yeah,
you could have said
I'll
that.
Have I'm, what he's having.
I'm glad I didn't have to do that.
It's just like a dead lamb leg.
Eating some
raw
bantha.
Lamb leg.
Eating some bantha.
All right, so that does it for us. Next week's going to be the big kind of review And preview. It's going to be year-end review and next year preview for all your favorite movies, favorite TV shows, worst TV shows, worst movies, most improved, best actors, things like that. We're essentially giving our awards and favorites to the best.
Like our
we
Oscars.
Personally feel. Yeah.
The 90s.
Sort of like our Oscars. And then we're going to preview.
Let's call them the 90s.
2017. Ooh.
That.
So we're going to preview 2017, give you a brief overview of what's coming out, what's going to happen, and what we're looking forward to. So if you like all of our episodes, you can find all of the episodes on Podbean and Stitcher. iTunes, for some reason, removed a lot of our old episodes, unless you've subscribed. So
go to
iTunes, subscribe, and then you'll be able to get all the episodes.
Oh, I think it cuts out some of them.
But either way, Podbean has all of our
episodes.
Yes, it
does.
We will also post all these polls to Facebook, so that way we can get our listeners' favorite movies, worst movies, and TV shows of the year. We can tally them up and see where we're at. And you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. You can also send us an email for all of your favorites and worst movies of the year and things you want to see next year. Our email address is KnightsOfNerditude@gmail.com. So until next time.
Bye.
Adios.
Good night, Rogue One.